May 23rd, 2004, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Lot from Bedro Show as Ricky Lee Jones, something I did with her maybe a year ago. It Takes You There from her record, new one. We started with John Coltrane and a tune off Sunship called Attainin'. Mr. Elvin Jones on the drums there. Recently departed to play once again with John Coltrane, maybe D-Bone. Quite a band they got up there now. This is much. Me and Raymond saw him play many times. He's great. And always a good spirit. Always righteous aura around him. In a place like Catalina or something, you could be right near him. He was something else. Grunting, hear the grunts. Perkins gave me a poster of him, the Zildjian symbol he signed, I think when he turned 70. I played with Perkins yesterday. It was pretty amazing. Petra played violin, sang for some Sublime song. a tribute record to be out soon. We have a special guest in the Love Grotto here on the Pleasure Point for the Watt from Peter show, Mr. Miggs. How are you?
Thanks, Mike.
Matt, et al.
Yeah.
Great to be here.
Right. Last night, we were at a party for Jerry Trebetich's wife, Kel. She graduated.
Congratulations.
And Dominguez Hills, right? And we were talking. I said, come on the show tomorrow. So he's here.
Right on.
And he brought some vinyl. Are you playing bass much?
You know, I haven't played in a couple years. Just had to give it a break. But it doesn't mean I'm done.
Good.
Just taking a little break. I brought some vinyl, as you said. You know, last night we were talking, and you kept mentioning Pettibone. And it reminded me of the old early SST stuff with all the covers he did and all the artwork.
He was at the gig Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that.
Oh, yeah, Friday I played with George Hurley here in town at La Zona Rosa Numero Dos, formerly known as Dancing Waters. And I thought we played better than the Queen Mary, but someone's rapping at the hatch. I think that's our other guest. But the sound was muddy. And I was talking to Marty Katz, he put on the show just before I got here, and he said there wasn't much power in that system. And hey, Josh, I know that cat wasn't too familiar with the tunage. And
well, you know, they're probably used to having a lot more accordions and
yeah, but that,
you know tubas
what?
And stuff
that
going on.
That cat has been there a long time, way before it went Norteño.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember him, Dennis. Here's our other guest today, Mr. Josh Shell.
How's it going?
Of the Bargain Music Adventure.
Yeah,
Caravan. Cool. Yeah, sit on the Sultan's pillow.
But that was a classic moment, though, when you cackled at the sound man. I thought,
I cackled at him?
No,
I mean, the guy was talking to me while I was playing the gig. He's standing next to me. And, you know, I apologize for it later anyway, but I told him at soundcheck, you know, why don't you put a mic in front of the amp? And my father always told me, always have a Bravo, you know, plan B. And, of course, the lights were on the same grid as the power, so no lights at soundcheck, there's no noise coming out. But when that guy, and by the way, that light man, what a job he was doing. I mean, he didn't know the songs at all. It was, he had 35, whatever, tunes there, and it's in the dark. And Georgie couldn't see anything. I mean, we practiced a lot. We knew a lot of it by heart, but still. You don't want big space outs, with, at least not space outs as longer than the songs. In fact, Miggs, you picked a Minutemen song here.
Yeah, I did. You know, let me tell you a little about the song. You guys put this together on a Cracks in the Sidewalk compilation in 1980.
It's the first,
it's the first
New Alliance record.
Right. And interesting for me, because there was a lot of debate about the song because nobody could understand the lyrics. I think it was the first time anybody ever heard the Minutemen, and they're trying to decipher the code. And I kept telling them, you know, it's not a code. You just got to listen to the words. You know, it's pretty simple. And no one bought it.
What'd you think it was about?
I asked D. Boone what it was about, and he told me you guys were up one night watching TV, and you, basically it was a dialogue from a Merv Griffin show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tried to explain that to the artisans, but they didn't. They weren't buying.
I mean, it's almost verbatim.
It is verbatim.
Merv Griffin interviewing Sophia Loren, and he has a picture of her in, at her first communion or something. And, you know, he's being Merv Griffin and asking the most stupid shit in the world. They show the picture and he goes, boy, look at you, you're praying hard. You know, the way you used to sit like this. I'm far from the mic because I have to sit here and show these guys. But he'd always sit with his ass pointed at the camera and then twist it around. And he'd like this. Ooh. 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 And, you know, then he goes to her you know, I'm not here to defend Catholics or anything, but he goes, you know, don't you think those people are kind of the least religious people? You know, and of course she's Catholic, you know. It was just pretty stupid. And so, you got to understand, 1980, when we did that, we hadn't written many songs. We didn't know how to write songs, so I just wrote down what I heard. It didn't rhyme, you know, but we felt very tainted seeing the punk bands up in Hollywood, and these guys just, as they were learning, were making their songs and their bands, and here we had learned off records and all this stuff. So we were trying to reinvent ourselves so we could be somewhat fresh like them. So we were trying to... We had a band before Minutemen called Reactionaries. I played someone on the show here, and it was a lot more like Speed It Up, Blue Oyster Cult or something. So we were trying to really make a break with that and try to somehow find our own sound. That was the whole point of this thing. And we were inspired by the Black Flag guys with their label SST, and so we started a label because we found out that punk, well, first off, it wasn't a style of music. It was just a way of doing things. It was more than just having a band. It was having a label and putting on gigs and making flyers. Deep Boone had a little book called The Pro. It's pretty neat. So all these kind of things. So New Alliance Records Ground Extension, me, Deep Boone, and Martin Tim Burbage. And we put this record out. It had six tunes. And you can see how it's mastered, how wide the spaces are in the grooves, because the place where we mastered that, they made records for slideshows. So they had really wide grooves because you're in the dark, right? Nowhere to put the needle.
Well, we'll say a prayer to Sophia Loren and hope it doesn't skip, because that's how old this thing is. And it looks
it has
like
some
it's been
damage,
through a little water damage.
Some mold. Okay. So what from Pedro Show?
Means everything to me.
My heart sets itself up.
From Pedro Show. That was The Fall, brand new Fall, with Boxitosis. Before that is something Miggs asked to play. Well, he actually brought Working Men Are Pissed by the Minuteman. Mission to Burma, brand new album before that, with the setup, and we started with 9:30 May 2nd, Minuteman. Our first, actually his first release that came out before Paranoid Time EP. He actually got it out of the gate before SST got Paranoid Time thing. Was set from the same session. I think we did like 7 or 8 songs, mixed them all in the same night spot. Greg Ginn. Martin was there too, but he conked out. He was supposed to help us sing Joe McCarthy's Ghost, but Sueño overcame him. You brought some music, Josh?
Yeah. I guess this is Junior Biles, a place called Africa. Lee Scratch Perry produced. Augustus Pablo playing the melodica.
You play melodica?
Yep.
Did you bring it?
I try. No, I didn't.
You could
actually, I got it in the van. Yeah?
Yeah? Good, because when Brother Matt does his spin cycle, you can jam with him.
Okay.
Cool. Josh's singer, Bargain Music. You just got off tour?
Yep. Yeah.
What was that like?
It was good. We were opening for a band that is doing pretty well, and it was, you know, we're used to playing in the small clubs, but it was all big venues and, you know, nice monitor mixes. So that was nice. It was a good tour.
Another tour soon?
Yeah, we're heading to Hawaii in about 2 weeks. Playing our first shows in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Is it Kauai Festival or something?
Kona Fest. Oh. Yeah.
Kona's?
Kona.
So what, Oahu? Oh, you're going to Big Island?
Yeah, we're playing Oahu, Big Island, Maui, and Kauai. Yeah. I can't wait.
Now, I've played your stuff on the show before. I played some stuff from the new album, but stuff from your first album, which I had something to do with.
Yep.
And the band's a little different from that version.
Yeah. Gone through it's
like you're the
different.
Only guy.
Yeah.
It's a trip.
Yeah, it is a trip. It's a real trip. You know, over a period of a year and a half, guys were dropping off like flies, you know. And you know, I think, you know, some guys just aren't made to tour, you know. And for a while I went through a lot of doubt, you know, should I continue the band, and you know, we found a new guitar player who's just an unbelievable guitar player, and we became a real strong songwriting partnership, and just didn't seem like, you know, the idea that we had with Bargain Music didn't seem like we were over. It seemed like we were just getting started with it.
Yeah. Who's Zippy?
Zippy, yeah.
Yeah. He was at Jerry's thing last night. He's from Sacramento.
Yeah. Sacto man.
Brother Matt, show me this magazine here. juxtaposed with Mr. Iggy on the cover as a painter. I was there when they did this. Well, I had to leave the day before. I wasn't able to be at the show, but we recorded a Juju Kimbrough song. And I got to see all this stuff. When it came out of the boxes, all the paintings. Ron did paintings, too. I think Scotty did something. One thing or another. But... see, it's pretty funny. I think the guy who runs that is out of Sacramento. Juxtapose,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this Meg.
So, Migs, you played in some musical stuff. I'm not talking about that, but you haven't done it in a long time.
I kind of ran the circle. Started off like everyone in their garage, doing the punk rock thing, finding my way uptown, then back downtown. Next thing I know, I'm doing some psycho Mexican crossover Santana jazz band, and then some sleazy pop projects, and that's why it's sitting. So I'm a gun for hire, I guess. I'll do anything once.
All right.
It's fattening. You know, John.
Well, we got some connects with some bathhouses.
I will pay to play. You know, Josh is going to Hawaii. I might be going to the Slav Hawaii in a couple weeks to play, you know. Catalina, maybe a little paddling.
It's a Slav Hawaii.
That's a Slav Hawaii. I can't get any closer to the real Hawaii.
Avalon.
6 miles is as far as they'll let me go.
You know, I was at the store. I was out of mustard. I wanted to get some mustard. And they had all these, I was at McAllen's up there, and they had all these fancy kind, you know, sweet, hot, whatever, England. And yeah, $4 or $5. And they had one Econo jar for $2, and it was way bigger, it was twice as big. And all the writing was Croatian. And it had big white, it looked like white carrots on the front of it. But it wasn't mustard, it was just horseradish. It wasn't even that hot, but it was good. It was Econo. I like, you know, I like that Jewish horseradish is intense. Different kind of hot, more aromatic, like wasabi, huh?
Works with sinuses.
Yeah, I'm into stuff like that. A lot of folks. Maybe as you get older, your taste buds get more dead, and you need more intense stuff to fire them up.
Some of the places use it, I think, because the stuff isn't that health. It's not that sanitary, so they just fired up with a lot of hot sauce.
purify it with fire.
It's so hot, and because they're just out in the street selling off a wagon.
In the sun.
Big tropical flower.
Yeah. Or the cats with the cooler on their shoulder. The tamales.
Yeah.
How long has that been sitting? After the gig Friday, we ate out of the truck over
there.
Yeah, I made right, Kristen?
Out of the truck.
Were you at the truck, too?
That's not a bad truck.
No.
They had a nice one on 17th for the longest time.
That's Spralia's. And then Spralia put up a fence, blocked them out.
The humanity.
The humanity.
They squeezed them in there. They're a little greasier. I thought that was good down there. That's flat.
Oh, the bone phone.
We have a request caller?
Yeah. Tarkus. So, okay, Josh, we're going to play this thing here from Junior Biles. Yeah. Place called Africa on the Watt from Pedro show.
It's a tearjerker.
Africa, far, far away. Ooh, ooh. What a brighter sun has dawned today. A beacon stop us down what may. A sign should come for you and I. She bowed her head and cried.
But by the same token, you have an issue with the social demands that wholesale sort of preemptive rejection of, you know, socially accepted psychology of success, you have basically a lot of neurotic stress that people tend to have, basically because they're being told that they should, number one, be successful, drive beamers, have lots of credit cards, go to the Bahamas, you know, be beautiful. And when they can't fulfill those requirements, that establishes a lot of stress. And stress leads to neurosis. Neurosis is just stress, and people drink. People, you know, get into pornography. They also get into profit. Is fulfilling this need, what was referred to as weak will, is actually a neurotic distortion of the creative process, where people, the creative process is making babies, having families, you know, fostering, you know, little men in pink sleeper pajamas who live in the trees and paint the leaves and make up new religions. If one looks at all the different variables you got, to alcohol, tobacco, business, media, success, all that, everybody picks that, you know, necessarily their gratification, what their God per se. But by the same token, what is it that
Watt from Pedro show. That was, wrong way. Sorry, Brother Mayor. I don't know the name of that song because, well, it's Jovi Butts from Chula Vista, and he didn't put the titles on the CD, so the listener can decide what it should be called. Before that, we had Clean Plate Club, Lincoln, Nebraska, with Horatio Alger Myth. And Lungfish before that with Love is Love. And we started with a place called Africa by Junior Biles. Josh is warming up his melodica. He's going to be collaborating with Brother Matt. Spin Cycle coming up in the next hour. We're coming down to the end of the first hour here. What was the first punk gig you went to, Migs?
Very first punk gig I went to. I think first big one.
No, first punk gig.
No, the first one was the first big one. It was at the Whiskey with X and who else was there? Probably you. But I remember going to see a band I'd never heard of called X because they had Ray Manzarek playing keyboards and I was a big Doors fan. So I think it was like 78, 77. I don't remember what it was. But then after that I was hooked and started seeing shows at Jimmy Smacks, Star Theater, and the Waters Club even had
some D. Boone would change the name to the Union and we'd have gigs there because we didn't like the idea of, like, on a Tuesday night having to drive 30 miles up to Hollywood, wait for midnight, and then have to work the next morning. So the show started at 7:30 and be in town. Kind of went awry when El Duce, Mentors had a gig there in El Duce. Remember the liquor store right next door? He gets all borracho and goes in there and starts calling the ladies their putas and their boyfriends, very angry Latin gentlemen who didn't understand humor in it, and first beat him up, then came over to the Star or the Union and started beating people up in there, and that kind of put the kibosh on the, it's torn down now.
Oh yeah, it's been torn down for years.
Years, yeah. It was a Christian place for a while. Solid rock. Not too solid.
Well, it was a porno theater before it was that, remember?
Yeah, when Dukowski was living upstairs.
That was the one and only.
Yeah, in Pedro.
Yeah.
And they tried to get a topless thing going over here.
Well, Bronco Billy.
Yeah, it's the same guy who ran that place on C Street, Shipwreck Joey's.
Okay.
D. Boone's pop used to always tell me and D. Boone, yeah, that place, you know, Tuesdays is spaghetti night, you know. And, you know, big old plate of spaghetti for $1.50, you know. Yeah, that's why I'm going to Shipwreck Joey's, for the spaghetti.
Well, don't they say the Jet Strip has the best coffee in L.A.? That's why everyone's there.
Sorry. And I think the guy owned a third place on PCH, Front View.
That's still
the Front View Cabaret.
That's the last one. That's
a classy name, the Front View Cabaret. He had some place on Western, too, on Harbor Gateway for a while there.
Oh, yeah. Shanghai Red.
Yeah.
Shanghai Red was here, wasn't
no,
it?
No, not Shanghai Red. I'm sorry.
That got raised when I came to Pedro.
What am I
Pedro.
Talking about?
Out there, some kind of
wrong era.
Place.
It was Shanghai.
Some kind of Red, or some kind of Red thing.
Yeah, used car. It was on Western and
Torrance
Boulevard.
Yeah,
so that was his little fiefdom of a male research. Well, I guess female research for males. Okay, wow, we're there. End of the first hour, May 23rd, 2004 edition, Watt from Pedro show. Hang tight for hour two. May 23rd, 2004, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
The alarm clock. He's the first man to walk on the moon. I think that's John Glenn.
John Glenn. John Glenn. He's a senator from Ohio, but I knew him way back when. Oh.
John Glenn. Neil Armstrong.
It's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
One, two, three, two, two.
We're going to do one more.
Danger, playing in a
Pedro Show, that was Carla Bozlich, Nils Klein, Carla's new record, something live called Times Square. Somebody else wrote that, huh? What's it say on the back sleeve there?
Times Square?
Here, can I have it?
Oh, yeah. B. Reynolds.
Yeah, this is a record of some live stuff and things from her Redhead Stranger interpretation of Willie Nelson's record. Concept record. Before that, we've had we had nothing like Bill Gates' bullshit. We had something you picked, Josh. The Who, I've Been Gone. Why'd you want to hear that one?
I love that song. It's just it's so simple, you know. It's when they recorded that song, it was just John and Keith, Pete, and Roger at the pub when they recorded that. And I think Roger came into the vocals after.
The pub.
And it's just a great song. It's, you know, it's funny lyrics, great melody, and it's something a little bit different than what they normally did. You know, it's one of those songs where they kind of stepped outside of The Who, and, you know,
Townsend.
Yeah.
You said you saw The Who.
A few times.
No, you've seen them without Entwistle.
I didn't see him without Entwistle. I saw the last tour before he died.
Okay. Somebody I know saw him with that. Maybe Bob Lee.
I think it was Jerry. I think Jerry saw him.
Without Entwistle. I wonder what that's like.
Yeah.
I never saw him without Moon.
So yeah.
I don't know what any of it's like.
Yeah.
And we started off with Neil Armstrong from Angst. You picked that, Megs.
Well, I picked that because, you know, it just always makes me smile. And I think we need to share the love. Being in the love grotto. Share a smile.
Neil.
Learn a little bit about history. Have a little pizza, learn about Cuba, you know.
Yeah, when I was young, they really pushed space on us hard. I used to watch all those missions, and it was really crude. You know, they'd have some guy dressed in a spacesuit suit just sitting there with the clock next to him, and you just watch this, you know, hour after hour. They didn't have the cameras in the spacecraft till later than that. So. I was really into it. Everybody I knew wanted to be astronauts. And then we landed on the moon, 69, Neil Armstrong. And it was all over. No more in the schools. No more anything. It's over.
Been there, done
that. Yeah, they did a few more space missions, moon missions, and then a shuttle and I guess Skylab. Remember when Skylab fell? Space used to be such a big thing in the national consciousness.
We were talking about yesterday the sea launch they have out here.
Right.
They send those satellites up routine.
Yeah, they buy Russian rockets and convert it in an oil rig to a launch pad and they tow it to the equator.
10 because there's more spin, and supposedly the most econo way to get a satellite up. It's pretty intense. I see what it, when it's docked, and I see when it's gone. Well, I see where it's supposed to be, but I've never seen it sail yet, man. I want to see the tugboat towing that derrick, converted derrick. And there's a mothership too. It looks like a cruise liner. Pretty intense project. But so big in our consciousness, now it's so small, and I think it's because it went military. Well, maybe it always was, but it was used a lot more for propaganda and whatever, because this race with the Russians and to get the moon.
Well, maybe, the American consciousness was, Major Healy and Major Nelson and I Dream of Jeannie. That was space for one generation, and Capricorn 1 with O.J. Simpson was the space for the next generation.
And that was...
and Skylab falls.
The idea of that was... the moon landing was faked, right?
Right. In fact, you know what the kids were telling me? Last year they had a big special, or 2 years ago, revisited the whole concept of the mission to the moon being fake, being all done in a studio so we can pump the American people for more NASA funds so we could really go. So I don't know where that went. That's kind of like the alien autopsy. You got both sides,
More funky shit.
Hangar 14, Area 51. Art Bell. I mean, it's really small now, and fringe and periphery, but and when I was a boy, man, it was so huge. And then I remember Angst, those guys were buddies of mine, San Francisco Trio, and they had that song, and it was so funny that anybody would even sing about space, and that was at the time, the early 80s, and it was so much done with, it seemed like. I don't know. They got some stuff on Mars now, right? They might find life or traces of life.
Or a new studio.
They might find it here. So that's trippy plane that I haven't heard those guys in a long time. One time I was touring in Europe. I was in Holland, and the guitar player, the guy who sings that song, came to the gig. And he was washing dishes. He had run away to Holland to live there. It was a trip. I still talk to Joe Pope, the bass player. A trippy band. So thank you for that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Now, special spin cycle segment for Brother Matt. We're going to have him collaborate with Mr. Josh Shell on the Lotica.
Cool. Welcome.
So let's see where that goes.
Yeah, see what happens.
Fired up.
Ultimately, what we're touching is the invisible, all-pervasive intelligence that surrounds us and penetrates us. It is grooming us to be able to tolerate its splendor. Something like that. It can't just reveal itself because we would be fried. We'll be right back.
I went to sleep as a child, only to wake up this morning and find I was a man. In my hands I discovered the tools and the rage of my father, and in my heart I found the love and the fears of my mother.
This same situation destroyed civilization after civilization.
Idealistic souls with an honest desire to improve the world. They never suspect an inner control for sinister purposes. And only those few who demonstrate a ruthless capacity for higher leadership are ever allowed to see it.
Everything I knew was wrong. is going to do to the rest of the planets in the solar system.
what is what, but they don't know what is what. They just strut. What the fuck? They know what is what, but they don't know what is what. They just strut. What the fuck? They know what is what, but they don't know what is what. They just strut. They just strut. What the fuck? What the fuck? They know what is what, but they don't know what is what. They just strut. What the fuck?
All right. Thanks much, Brother Matt.
Thank you.
Josh.
That was tough.
Yeah?
Every time I got the key down, it changed. That's all right. You did a great job, man. That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Brother Matt's spin cycle. Spinning it up. Migs, what's your favorite D. Boone story?
Oh, so many. You know, I don't know about story, but I'll tell you just the kind of a feel that I like to feel every once in a while, you know. Going down, when he used to, remember we used to live off of Sepulveda, Low
yeah.
Pacific right there? Going down there on a Saturday afternoon, you know, hanging out, watching Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, which for some reason which was one of his favorite shows. And then going to get lunch right up the street at Pozzuato. And just, you know, mauling down a big lunch with D. Boone, who... I don't know if he talked faster or ate faster. I don't know what it was, but it was just something being there with him and hanging out, swapping stories, and just talking shit. Great times.
He liked Pasquardos and Breezes.
Oh, yeah.
And Burrito Factory. And... all the chop pads here.
I kept up, so it was a good time.
Yeah, there was a point where I could chow more than him, drink more than him, and not gain a pound. It was very long ago. But he also did his own cues. He had a special sauce he made with orange juice and... some weird kind of marinate. It was trippy. It was good. But he liked chowing. And I remember there was one tour he wanted me to try. He said the only way you could know about not eating meat is to do it. So this one tour I ate nothing but broccoli. My skin was turning green. I was wearing these army clothes for this tour, and my skin was matching the army clothes, olive drab. And we're conking at this place in Kansas City. And we're at the pad, and he goes off, you know, with Georgie and the guys we're staying at to get beer, and he comes back with this giant burrito. And I go, you know, in the microwave dung bags. And I said, what's that about, D. Boone? He goes, well, see, you got to get the kind without the meat. Must have been like 5,000 calories. Then we were playing in Hamtramck. And, no, it wasn't. It was in St. Louis. The Mississippi Nights, and they had this huge bowl of spaghetti, and it, you know, it had meat in it. And I said, well, what's that about? And he goes, well, look, you know how we've been conditioned all our lives to eat this, and I just got to convince my body it's the wrong thing.
Kind of like the Schick thing, huh? Dr. Schick.
So, like, he's got this, you know, trowel or whatever, snow shovel thing, and he's just, it's coming out the side of his mouth. He goes, I'm training. I'm learning. So was I. He's funny about that. It's trippy the way he played, huh? I try to tell people. It's hard to describe.
Well, you know what? One night we were at Club Lingerie, and you guys had just finished your set, and we're sitting in the backstage, green room, whatever it was. And I had met Dave Alvin a couple times, but not, I mean, not, you know, hanging out with him or nothing. I just say, hey, Dave, what's happening? This is Miggs, whatever. Anyway, he came back, and one of the first times he had, I guess, really talked to D. Boone, and he was just frustrated. He goes, you know what? You got to show me those open tunings you're doing. I just can't figure them out. And D looked at him and didn't understand what he was talking about. He goes, what do you mean open tunings? What's those open tunings to get those sounds? D's like, man, I just tuned my guitar. It was a straight tuning. You know, and that was the magic. And, you know, to see someone of the caliber of Dave Alvin sit there with his chin on the floor wondering how the hell this guy's making all this sound. And he's not using anything but his body and his guitar. It was
amazing. He didn't use effects pedals. Well, you know, the Minutemen, we had decided at the beginning we were not going to use tuners. We thought it was bourgeois. So, like, we would tune to each other. And as the gig went on, you know, the strings would stretch and we'd stretch. We'd end up like a step and a half down by the end of the gig. Try to stay relative to each other, but it'd be getting flatter and flatter. Because he would hop around.
Oh, yeah.
So intense. He would pull the neck of the guitar out. And, yeah, I don't think he ever used a weird tuning.
No.
Like a lot of these kids, younger people now, drop D and all this. Never did any of that. This hippie guy taught us how to play, showed us some things. Roy Mendez Lopez, he lived in his car. And, I know he had a profound effect on us as a person. A lot of the other stuff we learned was off records. We never got to meet any of those people. But so you had to just imagine how they did it. Like I remember us trying to figure out Black Sabbath, how they got the sound with the guitars. We didn't know about fuzz boxes. So we thought it was something they did in the studio. I mean, music's much more accessible today. You can just go to the Shitheart Center and there's like 5,000 devices and instructional videos. You didn't have any of that. So, and we didn't really have much older brothers or friends either. So there was no one really to show us the way. So we had to kind of stumble through it. He played kind of trebly, huh?
Well, you know, it was a good compliment to that bottom you guys had.
Yeah. What did you think of that gig Friday?
I dug it.
You know,
I dug it when he said, can you hear bass? People said, I can't hear the guitar. That's kind of funny. And then you said, I hear the guitar every fucking song.
Yeah.
That was perfect, too. That was like you're saying how D. Boone would have a cool line for that. That was just as cool of a cool line right there.
Yeah, D. Boone had a good way with hecklers. He had good, quick retorts that weren't too cruel, but would make people think. Yeah, I didn't know what to say sometimes. And I told the guy to try harder.
That was cool.
I mean, what a thing to say. I was talking to my second man, drummer Jerry, and he said he couldn't hear the drums. Could you hear Georgie?
Yeah, I could hear him where I was at.
Is it kind of muddy?
Yeah, the sound could have been a little nicer.
Yeah. Well, those guys who put on the gig, they told me they're going to bring more shows to Pedro.
Cool.
They said, we want to bring Anthrax.
You want to bring Anthrax the band or Anthrax the drug? You got to be careful, Mike. This is going out over the airways. You know, Uncle George is listening.
George.
The Big W. Remember that movie, The Big W?
We're there.
Oh, yeah. End of the second hour Watt from Pedro show. May 23rd, 2004. Hold tight for hour three. May 23rd, 2004. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Here's the thrilling conclusion, part four of somewhere next door to reality.
Both Jack Flanders and Mojo Sam have seen another city within the old city of Montreal. It is a city that appears to be almost identical to the cobbled streets and stone buildings of old Montreal. But the shops are not the same, and the people are quite different indeed. Jack has met a mysterious woman who he believes is from this other city. She has given him hints and clues, but he cannot piece them together. She won't tell him her real name. Jack refers to her as Madame Chow. That's the nickname Jack gave her because whenever he tries to extract more information from her, she simply walks off, and Jack is left alone saying, "Chow." The next morning, Jack stops by Dominique's bookshop in Old Montreal.
Is that yours?
Oh, no, it must be yours.
Oui, hello? Quand est-ce que cela s'est produit? Je vois. Ok. Salut.
What is it?
That was Isabelle's father. She's been missing since yesterday morning.
Oh, God. Do you think...
I don't know.
Jack phones Mojo, who tells him...
Listen, man. Isabella's okay. Nobody's gonna hurt her.
But, Mojo, if this is
now, going... Now, listen to me. The only thing you can do is be cool. You hear me?
I hear you.
Let me hear it.
I'm cool.
Okay, then. Bye.
Yeah. Cool. Right.
Exactly at 4 o'clock that afternoon, the mysterious Madame Chow, or Madame Claudine, we're really not sure, sits down at her favorite table at the Café Napoli in Old Montreal. The air in the city is thick, heavy. A late summer storm has been gathering. Jack Flanders is back in his usual attire, a white suit and Panama hat. He seems to be getting a little impatient. Apparently he's waiting for someone. Finally, strolling up the street, taking her time, is a slim, attractively dressed Dominique. A thin web of cigarette smoke leaves a little wavy trail behind her.
Well, I see you brought an umbrella.
Of course. Is she here?
Mm-hmm. She's sitting over there.
What do you want me to ask?
Ask her whatever you want.
I know what I'm going to ask. I'm asking you what you want me to ask. Why do you sigh so much?
Oh, God.
Women are such exotic creatures. I mean, if you stay still and watch a woman, that's like watching a whole fresh universe unfold before your eyes.
Yeah, right.
What right?
You're right. So shall we approach the mysterious madam, whoever she is?
You haven't answered my question.
She doesn't answer my questions either.
You're not asking the questions.
All I want to know is how to get into that other city. And she's not going to tell you, either.
We'll see. Introduce me. Hello, Jack.
Not cul-de-sac, Jack.
Do you prefer that?
No, I don't. Dominique, I want you to meet... Madame, I don't know your name.
Hello, Dominique. Enchanté. Je vous en prie. Asseyez-vous. Garçon, j'aimerais vous remercier pour l'aide que vous avez offert à Jacques.
Hein?
Si j'ai bien compris, vous avez une amie qui a disparu. Oui. Son nom est René. Ah bon.
Madame, désirez-vous commander?
Qu'est-ce que vous aimeriez? Un café au lait.
Monsieur?
On me. Yeah, I'll have a cappuccino. Double.
Un café au lait, un cappuccino double.
Devrions-nous inclure Jack dans cette conversation? Si vous voulez. Mais son français est affreux. Oui, je le sais. Oh, pauvre cul-de-sac Jack.
No, you know, I don't think it's very fair to talk about me in front of my face. In fact, it's very rude.
Oh, well, we'll speak Americanese for you, all right?
Thank you.
Madame. It isn't just my friend, René, who has vanished. Yesterday, A friend of mine, André Chabrol, his child disappeared. She's 12 years old. She's a very sensitive young woman. I know that she has seen the other city. Her name is Isabel. We believe she is there.
She told you she has seen it.
She told me she'd seen a carnival, like a Renaissance fair in Place Charcantier. But it was winter. She said the square was empty, covered in snow. And then there was a carnival. She was introduced to others. They were from somewhere else. Perhaps not this world. And then they vanished. She was alone.
And what did you think?
At first, I thought it was her fantasy. I knew it was real for her, but I didn't know how real. Now I know.
Isabel said she wanted to go back there, to be with them.
Is she there?
I don't know.
Can you find out? She has no mother. Her father, he'll go crazy without her. He believes she was kidnapped. He doesn't know what has happened to her.
Café au lait et cappuccino double.
Merci.
And do you hear that?
The thunder?
No, the music.
Ah, oui,
indeed. I'm going to find him.
It's starting to rain.
Lend me your umbrella.
Wherever my umbrella goes, I go.
So you two are inseparable, huh?
Yes, and without us, you will be soaked to the skin.
Are you sure you wouldn't rather just stay here and talk?
Mm-hmm. You're not leaving without me.
This is a rather petite umbrella, no?
Ce fut un plaisir de vous rencontrer.
Au revoir, Dominique. My luck is with both of you. Ciao, Kitsap Jack.
Salut, madame. What did she say to you?
You Americans, if learning French is such a bother, why should we tell you?
Well, you know, we're not very intelligent people. So obviously, someone has to explain it to us.
Of course. You're ignorant, you're uncultured, uh-huh. You're uncouth, you waste your life chasing your almighty dollar.
Look, are you talking to me personally, or
all
just...
All of you who live beneath us.
Are you serious?
You don't know when I'm serious?
No, not really.
I'm never serious.
Seriously?
I'm playing with you.
Oh, I see.
No, you're too stupid to see.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Can you still hear that accordion?
No.
Shall we turn around?
No. Let's keep going. Maybe we'll step right off the edge.
Aren't you teetering on the edge most of the time?
So?
So, are you happy?
Of course. No. Sometimes.
Are you playing with me?
Always. Are you happy?
Sometimes. Why aren't you with a man?
That's not your business, Buster.
I'm just curious. You're attractive. You're incredibly bright.
I'm impossible.
Well, yes, that's true. But there's men that are attracted to impossible women.
Where?
Oh, here and there.
I've met them. They come and they go.
You know, this is hopeless.
You mean me?
No, I mean that we're not going to find anything, and this umbrella is built for one. I'm getting drenched.
Of warm rain.
I know, but my sneakers are squishing water in and out every time I take a step.
Go barefoot.
On the cobblestones? I don't think so.
If you go barefoot, I'll go barefoot.
Yeah, but you're wearing sandals. You're already barefoot. Does this umbrella have a metal tip?
I don't know. Stick your head out and see.
Let's go back, okay?
Okay. I wonder what it's like to be a street person who is blind. If you had a choice between losing your hearing or losing your sight, which would you choose?
Well, it's not much of a choice.
Well, it's a choice, not choose.
Well, I choose sight.
You'd rather be blind?
So much of my world is sound. And you?
I like to read. I like my eyes.
I see.
You make a good pair.
Hmm?
I watch, and you listen.
Oh, yeah, except for one thing.
What?
You are impossible.
True.
And you enjoy being impossible.
No, lonely with you. Mind if I smoke?
Under this umbrella?
Please, Jack. Oh.
Why not? Here.
Why do you have a lighter?
It's a souvenir.
Of what?
Of our long story.
I have the time.
Some other time.
Oh, I don't need this umbrella.
It's still raining.
But you're wet.
I'll get wetter.
Jack, put the umbrella down.
What about your cigarette?
I only need two puffs.
Good.
Oh, put your face up. Like this. Doesn't the rain feel good?
Feels wet.
It's so warm.
Yeah. The streets are all misty.
Do you think if we stand here forever, the city will come to us?
Forever? Well, that sounds about right.
Are you giving up?
Not if I can find that blind accordion player.
The storm is passing.
I'm going back to my hotel.
Let's go hear Mojo play tonight.
You mean down in that smoky cellar they call Lucky Pierre's?
Where else?
Okay. When?
11.
11 o'clock. Isn't that a little late?
Montreal is a night city, don't you know? Salut, Jack.
Ciao. I'm so darn wet and soggy. And it's still so hot and muggy. It's going to be a thunderstorm. I feel like it's going to be a whopper. My God. There he is. The blind accordion player. He looks dry. So does his dog. They must have been standing under an awning. Except there are no awnings around here.
Cue the sac, Jacques.
How do you know that name?
The wind.
I see. And your name is?
Jacques Hébert.
Well, Jacques, I'm Jack. Jack Flanders.
I know.
Right. Jacques, can you tell me the name of the woman I keep seeing in the Café Napoli?
But I can't see her.
Well, you know who I mean, though.
Madame Chow.
Yes, but that's not her name. I think her name is Claudine.
A pretty name.
She's a pretty woman. Well, is that her name? Claudine?
You are wet.
How do you know that?
You smell wet. Now go to your hotel. Don't catch cold.
Tell me how I can find the other city. Okay, look. Now there's someone... Well, actually there are two people I'm trying to find. One is a young girl, and her name is Isabel. Her father believes that she's... Okay, I see. Well, thanks anyway. I guess if I don't see you around, I'll be hearing you.
Late that evening, Jack steps down into the smoke-filled cellar known as Lucky Pierre's. As Jack enters, Mojo is just finishing a number.
How's it going?
Oh, it's a good crowd tonight.
Yeah. Mojo, how do you deal with all this smoke?
I practice inverse yoga.
What?
Shallow breathing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And then between sets, I step outside and do some heavy, deep breathing. You ought to try that.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to, especially around Dominique. By the way, I was supposed to meet her here.
I haven't seen her.
It's almost midnight.
Maybe she got distracted.
Probably.
How are you two getting on?
I think we've come to an understanding.
You mean she understands you, or you think you understand her?
Maybe a little of both.
You know, just because she's nice today doesn't mean she'll be nice tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
But if you remember what it was like when she was nice, and you act like she's being nice, she'll settle down and be nice.
This really is a true test of my patience, isn't it? Let's step outside. I need to do some heavy breathing. Phew. It's still hot out here. Oh, yeah. Something big is building up out there.
Do they have tornadoes?
In the city? It would take an awful lot to shake these buildings.
Oh, by the way, Dominique and I met with the mysterious Madame Whoever.
How did it go?
Dominique was great. She may have actually succeeded in getting something out of her, but then I heard that accordion again. I wanted to find it, but she insisted upon coming with me.
You didn't find you?
No, and we got drenched. But later, when I was walking back to my hotel, there he was, standing out on the sidewalk, perfectly dry.
So you think he was playing from the other side?
You mean standing somewhere that's dry, like next door to reality?
That's right.
You know, that occurred to me.
Did you talk to him?
Well, he called out to me. He called me Cul-de-sac Jack.
I guess he's heard about you.
He even knew that I called her Madame Chow.
They're probably old friends.
He wouldn't tell me her name. He told me his name, Jacques.
Jacques and Jack.
Yeah, he thought it was funny, too.
So what did you find out?
Mojo, no one ever tells me anything.
I told you.
What?
They're handing you stuff. But you let it drop. You don't pick it up.
There wasn't anything to pick up.
That accordion man, he as much as admitted that he and Madame Chow know about that other place.
Well, yeah.
He knows that you're trying to get in there and why you're doing it. Do you feel he's going to stop you?
No, but he's sure not going to help.
You're on your own. She told you that.
I know.
It's like enlightenment. You know what I mean?
No.
The teacher can't do it for you.
So,
you know what you got to do.
Well, as the good Madam Whatever said, patience is the key to paradise.
There you go.
Go where?
Maybe that's the point.
What?
Man, do you realize what you can accomplish with patience? I mean, that's the ultimate cool state of being.
Yeah.
You master patience, and that's achieving a state of grace. The whole world will stop and change just for you.
Look, I'll be cool.
You told me some wise dude once said to you, you gotta be cool without gotta-ing to be anything.
Yeah, I remember that.
My break's over. I gotta go back in.
I just can't take any more of that smoke, Mojo.
I hear you. Catch you later. Salute.
Same to you. So, no Dominique. Uh-oh. More rain. I may as well get back to the hotel. This place reminds me of the old cities in Morocco. Except they were surrounded by walls. There wasn't any space left inside, so they built the new city outside the walls. It was like stepping from one world into another. Old Montreal also has a modern city built around it, except there's no walls, and it's not exactly around it. There's the river and the old port of Montreal. Speaking of the river, I notice the mist is sneaking back in again. Oh, this storm is about to break. I should be able to reach the hotel before... Is that her? What is she doing out here at this time of night? And in this storm?
Meanwhile, back at Lucky Pierre's.
Salut, Mojo.
Dominique, how you doing?
It's gonna rain.
I was just out there. It was feeling pretty heavy.
Is Jack here?
He just left about a minute ago.
To his hotel?
Oh, that's what he said. You can still catch him.
Why bother?
He's getting set in his ways. It'll do him some good to stay up all night every now and then. Go get him. Bring him back.
Okay, Mojo. See you later.
Oh, yeah.
As Dominique steps onto the street, there's a terrific flash of lightning that seems to light up the whole city. Up the street, she can see Jack's white suit shimmering in the flashes of lightning. She hurries after him, but Jack has picked up his pace. In fact, it was the same flash that Dominique saw that revealed the mysterious Madame Claudine standing in the middle of the street as though waiting for Jack.
Does she see me?
He's about to call her when, once again, under the rumbling thunder, he hears that familiar sound. There's yet another flash of lightning, followed by a deafening crash of thunder.
Holy smoke!
But in that flash of brilliant white light, Jack suddenly sees the city. There it is, shining, bright as day. And in that brief moment, he sees the mysterious madam casually strolling up the street in the full light of the sun. And then, the image is gone. It's dark again. The rain comes pelting down.
Jack! Jack!
He doesn't seem to hear the voice calling to him. Perhaps his ears are still ringing from the thunder. Or perhaps he's too occupied as he steps into the middle of the street to stand in the exact same spot where he saw Madame Claudine when she stood there watching him. He stops. He patiently waits.
What is he doing? He's so stupid. Jack! You idiot!
There's another blinding flash. And Jack is gone. The rain is slamming down, but Dominique stands there, shivering, sobbing, cursing.
Tu es parti sans moi, seul, con.
Jack is still standing in Rue St. Paul. He is still in old Montreal, but it's not quite the same. He's no longer standing in the pouring rain in the middle of the night. It's midday. The sun is shining. Jack feels rather foolish standing there, dripping water as the perfectly dry inhabitants of this strange city walk by. But no one seems to notice him. And once again, he feels as though he's walking on the bottom of the ocean. Each step is in slow motion as he makes his way up the street toward Renee's apartment.
This is awfully familiar.
It's the Cafe Napoli, except it's not quite the same.
That's her. That's Renee.
In fact, she is sitting in exactly the same spot where the mysterious madam always sat. Jack is amazed. The coincidence is just a bit much. But Jack doesn't have time to ponder this, because Renee stands up. She's about to leave.
Renee?
She stops.
Can you see me?
She cocks her head and listens. Is she watching him out of the corner of her eye?
Renee, can you understand me? Oh, God, I feel like an American tourist who goes around yelling, "Do you speak English?"
Of course I speak English.
Oh, you can understand me.
Can I understand me?
Barely.
What do you want?
Well, Dominique sent me to find you.
Ah, of course.
She wants to know if you're all right.
Tell her I'm happier than ever. Tell her I send my love.
Can you tell me, how did you get here?
Probably the same as you.
But how are you able to stay here?
We all find our own way.
How did you do it?
What? You're becoming closer.
There's a young girl. Her name is Isabel. We think she came here.
When?
Yesterday.
Isabel?
Yes. Isabel Chabrol.
Sorry.
You don't know? Is that what you're saying?
I don't understand.
Oh, God, I'm losing it. Renee, can you hear me?
I don't understand.
If you see Isabel, tell her her father needs her. Can you... Oh, damn. I lost it.
And once again, Jack is standing in the pouring rain. But he's not alone. Waiting for him is
You son of a bitch.
What?
You went in without me.
Not now, okay?
Now, not now.
You are so impossible.
So?
So we're both getting drenched. Again.
I don't care.
I know, but someone has to look after you. Come on, my hotel's right down the street. But let's get into something dry.
Like a martini?
I meant clothes, but why not?
A soggy Jack and the ever-impossible Dominique squish across the lobby of Jack's hotel, up the steps and down the hallway to his room, where Jack finds a baggy shirt and baggy pants for Dominique to change into. When she steps out of the bathroom...
How do I look? Like Charlie Chaplin?
You look just fine. You want to go downstairs to get a drink?
I'm not staying up here with you.
I won't bite.
But I will.
It's now 4 in the morning. Mojo has joined them in the bar.
So, Renee seems quite happy being over there. But she didn't know anything about Isabel.
Renee didn't tell you how she's able to stand there, did she?
No, at that point, I was losing it. She couldn't understand me, or maybe she pretended she didn't. I'm not sure.
We must find Isabel.
I know.
We have to go back, Jack.
Oh, come on, let's talk about it tomorrow, okay?
You know that Madame Chow, she opened it up for you.
Yes, I know that.
What?
Well, she waited for me, and then boom, I was in.
But that may be the last time.
Why?
I don't think she'll do that again.
Why not?
She may not be allowed to.
Jack, we'll ask her.
Jack may not see her again.
How do you know?
I've got this feeling.
Yeah, and I'm afraid he's right.
So that's it? You quit?
Dominique, look at Jack. He's fading right in front of us. He's exhausted.
Oh, gang, I am so sorry, but I'm going to fall asleep right here. I'll see you tomorrow, okay?
Good night, Jack.
Good night.
Ciao.
Whatever.
You want me to walk you home?
I'm okay.
You know, Jack did all he could.
I know.
Nice to him.
Okay.
You sure?
Yes.
Promise?
Yes. And?
What?
From now on...
Yeah?
I'll be nice even to you.
You don't have to go that far.
Well, you'll see.
Well, looks like it's still raining.
I don't mind.
You don't want to get wet again?
It's okay. I'm wearing Jack's clothes.
The next day, as Jack is sitting alone down by the harbor soaking up the late summer sun, his cell phone rings.
Speak.
Squeak?
Dominique.
Hey, Isabel is back.
Really?
I spoke to her this morning. She said she saw Renee.
And?
Renee tried to tell Isabel about her father. But then your friend showed up.
Oh, you mean Madame Chow, or Madame Claudine, Madame whoever the heck she is, or was.
Mm-hmm. She brought Isabel back.
And how does Isabel feel about this?
Disappointed. But she was told that one day she'll return.
Oh.
Are you coming by the shop?
Well, sure, why not?
We'll all have lunch together.
Okay, with Mojo. I'll give him a call.
He's here. He has something he wants to say to you. Salut, Jack.
And salute to you, too.
Hey, Jack.
Mojo. Well, looks like my work is done here.
Just one more thing.
Yes, Mojo?
I want you to think about this.
Shoot.
You know that woman and the blind musician, they work together.
I knew that.
They work together to draw seers, people of vision, into the other world.
Maybe.
It's like the accordion thins the membrane between the two cities. And the seers see the other world and walk in and don't come back.
But they brought Isabel back.
Oh, yeah. That Madame Claudine, she returned to Isabel because you were getting too close to the old truth.
I'm not so sure about that.
You'll think about that. See you later. Ciao.
I wonder.
Lot from Pedro Show with some Thelonious Monk. Ask Me Now. Before that, we had Galileo by Mice Parade. More than one mouse. I guess it wouldn't be a parade.
I found myself in a strange place one time. You remember a guy named Mike Brady?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this was when Reagan was president, I guess, you know. And he was doing a video for some video magazine. I went down there to help him out. And we went to the Long Beach Convention Center where they had the Republican National Convention that year. And we're just doing some film. And all the little Reagan youth, you know, was all hanging out. And there was a couple cuties there. So I'm like doing the high sign, you know, and punk rock hairdo. And they're looking at me like, you know, go take out the trash. And so we're filming. These people are interviewing. And all of a sudden, they found out the president's not going to come. Reagan's not showing up, but he's doing a video message. And the funniest thing in the world, one of these little Reagan youth girls comes running in her high heel and her little skirt. Uncle Ronnie's on the TV. Everybody come inside. I never forgot that. Uncle Ronnie's on the TV. Everybody come inside. Just the gleam in her eye. You know, she was hypnotized by Uncle Ronnie. So Uncle George is now hypnotizing the youth of America. I saw his newest campaign slogan is Viva Bush. Where do you think that's headed?
Whoa.
Viva Bush.
Viva?
Viva.
Yeah. There's that Dylan song, right? He's eating pizza. He's eating bagels. He's eating chicken or something. Man on the... Was it I Shall Be Free? Number 10 or something. That's something I learned in England, you know.
Yeah, dream. Some dream number.
No, I think it's I Shall Be Free, number 10. Oh, 115th dream. Yeah, that's where he's got to go save Jonah. Or Ahab. Ahab gets parking ticket on the boat and they get thrown in jail. So he just have this strange adventure.
Adventure.
Motorcycle nightmare. That's another adventure where the farmer's daughter, and to get out of the mess, he says he likes Castro's beard. That was the good Dylan. We played the song a couple weeks ago. I think we're up to 68 shows.
Wow.
I was looking here.
Bunch of hours.
Yeah. I was in Japan a couple months ago with the Stooges, and I saw this band from North Carolina called Ben Davis. You heard of this guy? Chapel Hill? I hadn't either. But the guy on bass turned out to be the cat who helped, first time I went to Japan with Jay Masks, the fog guy who was a helper man, was on the bass. Is that a trip? I'm like, whoa, that's a coincidence. And they were good. So I was sent the CD. His newest CD, I guess he's been in a lot of bands and made all kinds of records. It shows to go you, man, how much music is out there. Little I know. So I'm going to play you a song from his latest record here. And then a Japanese band. After that. What from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was Los Leo from Tokyo. The song called Ghost Club, trippy mix. Kind of like headphone thing. And a departure warning from Ben Davis before that. Migs, Josh, I want to thank you both very much for being the guests.
Thank you.
Come and visit him, Brother Matt. Brother Matt, thank you much for Central Assist. Kristen, thanks for coming. Although you didn't talk much. It's okay. You can giggle. And who's your buddy?
Oh, Barbara was here.
Neighbor.
Yeah, she lives down the street. Took a pit stop.
Neighbor did a pit stop. In fact, we had a big... She inspired a big spiel about humanity. That you guys didn't get to hear because you were listening to Jack Flanders wind up his self-realization journey. And, yeah, we ended up talking about show tunes. Now, please, nobody out there, don't be afraid to whistle a show tune or two. You know, I promise Watt will never say you're unmanly or even unworthy to be in charge of the nuclear weapons. You know, what a gig. What a gig. But it's up for grabs in a few months. Everybody do your research. Because what I understand is they're asking people's opinion who should get that gig. And I know who's getting voted in or out of American Idol game is very intent on the priority list. But maybe that gig should get a glance, a look over. And although I think it's important you don't vote too if you don't want to. There's some countries they fine you if you don't vote. And that kind of means like you have to say the system's all right. You don't feel like voting, that's okay. You know? The country is built on protest. You should be able to protest that too. Just a thought for Watt. I think one more show we can do before I go to Europe. And I think Petra come and debut her. Petra did a acapella version of the Who Sell Out, Josh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very intense.
Whoa.
It'll be out in September. We're going to play it over the show, hopefully next week. And yeah, I put it all the whole album. I gave her this 8-track I had. I put all of it on track 8. And I said, fill up the other 7. Just sing along with it. She did all my parts. And what she told me is the label that's putting it out wants her to get a choir and do it live. 6 other people.
Wow.
And hopefully it's not a Bobby McFerrin thing. But
it's cool if she needs a singer.
Yeah, and she gets to be a conductor. And I think it's great for Petra, too, from being side person role into moving into her own band and giving direction to people. Incredible musician. So maybe it's a new phase in her music thing. But she didn't even know about that record. You know, I just told her me and Dee Boone loved it. She's trying to quit. Well, she did. She's quitting drinking at the time. It was something for her to do.
Yeah, that record's my favorite.
Yeah, we loved it. We loved it. So anyway, everybody, May 23rd, 2004 edition Watt for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.